A very good morning to all of you. It's always a joy to be to worship with you, and it's a joy for me and my wife to be with you once again. And it's let me just greet you once again. God's blessings be with you as you celebrated Easter. It's always a joy to be part of the Holy Communion, in other words, to come. I always tell myself that, you know, I'm not worthy to come into the Lord's table, but the Lord invites us. And so what a joy to know that God wants to fellowship with us. I think that's a God we worship, a God who wants to be with us, a God who wants to fellowship with us, a God who wants to strengthen us in each and every day of our life. Once again, let me start by saying thank you to the church for upholding us, particularly me, my wife, and also my kids. Because last Sunday, we got the news that my father went to be with the Lord. He was 101. And some of them even asked me, "How old are you, Pastor?" I'm very far away from 101. Your prayer means a lot to us. And thank you once again for the emails that I've received from some of your leaders, expressing prayers, and also it brought a lot of strength to us. I was just thinking whether can I start with a joke. Can I do that? Why not? Yeah. Let me not say who is this pastor. I was reading from this story about a pastor. I do not know, probably he came from the Associated Gospels. Right? Right? Or maybe from the Tamil Church. So this pastor, whenever he goes to the pulpit to preach, he will always start by saying, "The Lord be with you." And the congregation will respond by saying, "And also with you." So this particular day, he went to the church to preach, so excited. And unfortunately, on that particular day, the PA system was not working. It was not working. And so he started by saying, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And the people responded, "And also with you." The Lord be with you. Thank God the microphone is working. Let's start by prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for inviting us to the table. We realize how unworthy we are. We thank you, Lord, for Easter once again. As we just sung, O God, that you thought of me. You thought of us, O God, and you came into this world. Because you want to come and to be our Lord and our Savior. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are not alone in this world. We have you, a God who is always walking with us. We come today because we want you, Lord, to walk with us. We want you, Lord, to strengthen us in our journey. Help us to acknowledge you and to realize that you're with us. Help us, O Lord, as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Near the end of the life of great Emperor Napoleon, Napoleon was interviewed by a historian. And when the historian was talking to Napoleon, I believe you know Napoleon, many of you have read about his life, a very powerful man, a great conqueror. And Napoleon was always known for the many victories that he won. So this historian asked Napoleon, what was the great happiest day of your life? What was the most happiest day of your life? Napoleon took some time to answer. And so this man wanted to give him some kind of clue. He said, "Was it the day that you entered Vienna? Or was it the day that you marched into Berlin and got hold of Berlin? Or was it the day you got victory at Lodi? And so he was just naming cities and countries to Napoleon, because Napoleon was a great conqueror. Or was it the day that you were crowned the great emperor? And I was very fascinated when I read about the response Napoleon gave. And Napoleon said, it was none of these things. The happiest day in all my life was the day of my first communion. The day of my first communion. And he said, I felt so close to God. I will do anything to get that feeling back again. He said, I felt so close to God when I came to the day that I can come and have fellowship with God. I will do anything. I will do anything to get that feeling back again. Dear friends, I believe, you know, many a times in our Christian life, you know, we want to get back again. We want to have the same feeling. We want to have that excitement, the joy. Can you remember the day you got converted, the day you said, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you. I want to be a disciple of you. I remember when I came to Christ, I was around the age of 16, young boy, and I still remember the place. The place I was sitting, the day I put out my hand and said, I want Christ to be my Savior. You know, I think all of us long and remember, and we want to have that continuous burning experience in our life, that joyful life. And Ron was just sharing to us about communion and how he was doing some kind of self-search, because we want to have that experience. We want to continue to have that experience. I always tell my congregation, on Easter day we see a lot of people, right? The following after Easter, what do you see? You see a lot of empty seats. But to me, I think every day is Easter, because every day the Lord is alive and God is alive, and I want to have that excitement. I think Christ wants us to have the joy every day, not on Easter alone, not on a day that Christ was born on Christmas Day, but I think that's the desire of God, that each and every day of our life there should be joy. And that's why we read, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I think that's what God wants us to have. I'd like to focus my attention today. I was trying to follow the lectionary, and today what you hear, you know, it's not only for BPC, it's also for my Tamil church, right? If you come back, Miruna, Madhura, all will be there. It's not that if they will be there, they have to be there. They're going to hear the same sermon, probably in Tamil, right? And a bit of English here and there. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. It's a very familiar passage, a passage that we normally tend to read after Easter or during that particular season. Luke chapter 24, 13 onwards. Let me read Luke chapter 24, 13 onwards. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. I like this verse. Let me tell you. You know, as they talked and discussed so many things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Some of the other versions says, Jesus drew near and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and all our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that yet he was the one who is going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They came to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they have seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women have said, but they did not see Jesus. And Jesus replied in verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them and what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as he was going further. As he urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then the eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on him on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. You know, I like this verse. It says, were not our hearts burning within us? In other words, they were saying, you know, our hearts was burning when Jesus was with us. Throughout his ministry, we felt the warmth. We felt the joy, we felt the power, we felt God is with us and is working in our lives. But because of his death, we have lost that flame. Right? We don't have that flame. But now when he spoke to us, when he was expounding, the Greek word here means, you know, Jesus was interpreting to them the word of God. You know, when we listen to the word, the conversation that he had with us, and our hearts were burning. Just can you imagine? I think that's the desire of Christ. He wants our heart to burn. I think every one of us are here today. It's not that we don't have any other things to do on a particular, on every Sunday. We are here because we want to experience the love of God in our lives. We want to know that God is with us. We want to experience and bless him. We also want God to help us in our journey. I think that's the reason we are, all of us are here, to praise him, to worship him, and to know that he is our Lord. As I told you earlier, I think, you know, sometimes in our Christian life, we lose the flame. Have you realized that? When you become a Christian, you're so excited, you start jumping, you go around talking to people about Christ, and people can see the difference in your life. They see a new you in you. They see a new power. They see a new way that you start talking, the new way that you start thinking, my friend. But as time goes by, what happens? Right? The flame goes off. Amen? I know it's difficult to say amen. You know, sometimes some people say it's sometimes we enter into a spiritual vacuum or some kind of dryness in our life. And that was happening in these disciples. But thank God, as we just read earlier, Jesus drew near. It's a powerful word. You know, let me tell you, I do not know where you are in your spiritual life. I do not know where you are in your walk, in your faith. I do not know what's happening in your families, my friend, or even in your personal life. I do not know whether you still have that excitement, whether you still have that hope, the joy, whether you can boldly say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But let me tell you, the Lord draws near to us. He comes. When Jesus rose from the dead, you know, it was Jesus was not just drawing near to them. He came so that, you know, Mary Magdalene and even the other disciples can see him. Thomas was able to trust Christ. You know, God draws near even today. And I want to tell you today, the Lord loves us so much. And I was just enjoying, you know, the worship. It was very powerful, right? That God thought of me. What a powerful word. You know, the word of God says, my names are written on the palms of God's hand. The Lord knows our names, my friend. I think many of us are here in this church, but sometimes we say, I do not know that particular brother's name or sister's name. But the Lord says, no, I know your name. I know your name. And the word of God says that even before the word is uttered from our mouth, the Lord knows our thoughts from far. What a powerful and a loving God that we have. And God wants us to have that burning heart once again. God wants us to be alive once again. I think that's the message that Jesus is bringing here. You know, why did they lose this burning desire? Have you ever asked yourself, you know, why did they move? Because, you know, when I was just dwelling on the scriptures, Jesus was with them for the past so many years, 3 years, right? And he was spending a lot of time with them, expounding to them the word of God. But now, you know, they are losing that flame. You know, I was looking at it, you know, one of the reasons I realized, I think probably they were on their own agenda. They wanted to see Christ in their own terms. Have you realized, you know, whenever we expect Christ to do this in my life and the Lord does it, there's a lot of excitement in us. And that's a problem with many Christians today, my friend. We treat God like a cafeteria. I think I told you in the last one of the last sermon, right? We want God. Whatever I want from Him, I need to receive from Him. When God shows me a different direction, when God doesn't answer my prayer, then what happens? I think we lose the flame. You know, the problem is today we want God in our own terms, my friend. If I don't see God in my own terms, then there's a lot of discouragement. But you know, the passage today, the passage speaks to us, you know, you can have the burning joy in your life when you are in God's term. In God's term. These disciples, they wanted Jesus the way they wanted, you know, but the Lord wants us to experience Him differently. Three things, right? As I told you in the past, you know, to be called back again, you need to be very short in your sermon. Right? Am I right, Steve? No? You won't say? Okay, I think three things that let me just briefly share with you. You know, the Lord, you know, wants us to come into our His term. Then we will have that burning joy in our lives. What was Jesus doing when he came? He entered into the conversation. You know, I was just trying to read on scholarship, and then the scholars say, you know, Jesus, you know, it was almost like a 4-hour walk to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile walk. And so Jesus did not come towards the tail end, according to scholarship. You know, Jesus came almost where they were around. Probably they were almost walking for half an hour. And so Jesus enters into their space and he starts talking to them. Can you imagine? For 3.5 hours, almost 4 hours, he was explaining to them to the word of God. Right? I was also asking myself, you know, what happens if I preached 3 hours here? Hello, I know you won't talk to me. You know, Jesus was spending or expounding the word of God. He was doing a Bible study for almost more than 3 hours. They knew the scriptures very well. They had fuel in their life. But many things they did not understand, my friend. If you look at, you know, the way they were trying to explain to Christ, they were distorted in their beliefs. They were saying, you know, we hoped, we thought that He will come and redeem Israel. Because they saw the word of God in their own terms. They wanted Christ to come and redeem Israel from the Roman rule, from the Roman Empire, from all the difficulties. They had a distorted understanding of the word of God. So, and Christ spends almost 3.5 hours, or slightly more than that, my friend, just having a Bible study with them. Let me tell you, to have the burning desire again, we need to go back to the scriptures again, my friend. We need to go back to the word of God again. If a preacher speaks more than 30 minutes, we tend to look at our watch. But thank God I didn't wear my watch today. Have you realized? Some people will come and tell the pastor, "Pastor, lately you have been a bit long-winded." But Jesus, you know, if you, I always have students coming and telling me, "Pastor, I study very hard for my exam, but I do not know, I didn't get my result well, I did not score well." So I asked them, "How long did you study?" "Just before the exam, I studied very hard for 2 hours." For a major exam, you spend 2 hours, and that's why you get that particular marks. You know, we spend 15 minutes with the Lord, and we want great blessings from God. Can you imagine? We just spend 10 minutes with the Lord, a devotional time, right? And we want God to strengthen us, to be with us in our everyday affairs of our life. Let me tell you, when you read great men, they spend hours with the Lord, 2 hours, because, they know the challenges of the day was much more great, my friend. Today, I believe that every Christian and every church, we need to come back to the Word of God. It's not just 10 minutes, right, devotional time, where the pastor comes and shares a wonderful story, a wonderful joke, my friend. We need to go back to the scriptures. We need to expound the word of God. And Jesus was doing that. He was speaking to them about the entire scriptures. He was talking to them about the prophets, about poetry, everything, about the Torah. We need to come back to the scriptures. We need to spend more time. If you're losing that flame, let me challenge you. Go back to the scriptures again. You know, Pastor, I read the word of God 15 minutes a day. Start reading 30 minutes. Probably we need that. We need more time to spend on the Word of God. And that's what Jesus was trying to do. You know, today, it sometimes is very sad. I listen to some sermons. I'm not criticizing on sermons, five things to do to be successful, Christian. Five things to do, or four things to do, right? To have a good image of yourself. And that's the way today we hear from this pulpit today, my friend. Have you realized that? But Jesus was expounding to them so that they were able to see Christ in every passages, my friend. They were able to see Christ, and they can able to see themselves. Why did the Lord give us the Bible, Word of God? I think, the more you read the Word of God, the more you realize how sinful we are in the sight of God. Have you ever, when you read God's Word, have you felt convicted? I know some Christians, when they start reading the Word of God, we just wait for a nice verse, then we will end. "I'm with you always till the end of the age." Oh, thank God for this wonderful word. Right? Have you realized? We will be just reading and reading until we find a verse that says, "I'm with you, I'm going before you, I'll strengthen you." Right? And then we will say, "Oh, God's word spoke to me today." It's not like that, my friend. We need to come back. We need to come back. We need to come back and learn about the scriptures. We need to understand what Christ is teaching us, expounding to us. Let me tell you, that's one thing that actually brings us to have that burning desire again. Secondly, in verse 30, what was happening? If you read verse 30, right? 29. "But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening,'" right? "The day is almost over." You know, before that, let me share with you. I was just reading a statistics that was done by George Barner. Some of you will be familiar with George Barner. He does a lot of statistics about the American church. In the year 2002, he did a statistics, and he came. In his findings, he said 48% of all Americans or Christians in America could not name the four Gospels. 48% of Christians could not name the four Gospels. 52 cannot identify more than two or three of Jesus' disciples. 53% of Christians. 60% of American Christians can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. George Marner also said, 61% of American Christians think that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Well, thank God, I think you know, right, it was in the Word of God. You know, and 71% of American Christians think God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. It is not a Bible verse. You know, it's sad. I think we need to come back. And George Barner also, in his finding, you know, says 35% do not read their Bibles. 25% admit they never pray. Right? 40%, I know the church treasurers would be happy if I say this, 40% admit they never contribute to the church tithe or offering. Hello? I don't know about BBC. Secondly, I think verse 30 we just read, you know, they told Jesus, what did they say? You know, stay with us. What was happening here? Stay with us. And Jesus took bread and broke it. Do you see something wrong that's happening here? What's the wrong thing that's happening here? Hello? He was the guest. Can you imagine if I come to your church, BBC, and suddenly I say, Ron, can you take a seat? I will do the communion. What will happen? Probably I'll be excommunicated from the church. He's the guest. And what is the guest supposed to do? He's supposed to sit down, right? If the meal is served to him, he will enjoy the meal. If he's not served meal, he will just say, praise be the Lord, right? But what is happening? Jesus took bread. He broke it, you know, he prayed. He broke it, he blessed it. You know, Christ was the visitor. What was happening here, my friend? I think we need to come back. We need to ask God to take lordship of our lives. I think that is very important. Right? We want God to take control, or in other words, to be the Lord of your life, my friend. I know some verses, you know, sometimes I visit some members, not here in Singapore. I have to say that because my church members are here. You know, there are nice posters that will say, Christ is the guest of this house. Have you realized that? No, Christ is not the guest of this house, my friend. Christ is the head of the house. Today, many of us, or many Christians, we want Christ to be the guest. Lord, you know, be there until Sunday, right? And I'll bring you along to church. Till then, I am the boss, right? This is the way we do things. And this is the way I live my life. What was happening here? You know, we need to come back. We need to ask God to be the Lord of our lives. He needs to break the bread. He needs to follow us. We need to be his followers. His agenda needs to be followed, my friend. And that's why John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You can do nothing. And we need to be remaining in him. And the Lord should be the Lord of our lives. I think that's important. Today, I think that's always a struggle between psychology and religion, right? Psychology always tells you, right, you need to be the Lord of your life. But Christianity says Christ has to be the Lord of our lives. That's the difference, my friend. Moody was once invited, the great preacher Moody was once invited. And before he was invited, a couple of pastors were very unhappy because Moody was not a very great theologian. He has not written much books. And so the pastors were saying, you know, why should we invite Moody? Why should we? You know, he's not a great person in terms of his qualification. He doesn't have a PhD. PhD means permanent head damage. Right? And you know, some of one pastor stood up and said, you know, the only difference in Moody's life, this Holy Spirit has a monopoly of his own life. That's the difference. The Spirit of God has a monopoly on the life of Moody. That's the difference, my friend. And today we need Christ to take control of our lives. We need Christ to be the shepherd of our lives. Let me tell you, if you are on your own agenda, your burning desire will continue to decrease. But when Christ becomes the Lord of your life, the Savior of your life, a God who leads you and guides you, my friend, you will continue to have the burning desire in you. Christians, let's ask God to just lead us. Let's ask him to be the Savior of our life. Lastly, let me finish with this. What's happening in verse, you know, they were so excited. And what happened, you know, in verse 31, when then the eyes were opened and they recognized him. And what happened? And they recognized him and Jesus disappeared. Come on, you know, they wanted Christ to be there. So, you know, what a joy. That's what they wanted, right? They wanted Christ to be there. They just wanted to enjoy his fellowship. But what happened? Jesus disappeared. I think, let me tell you, Jesus had to disappear. In other words, why did Christ disappear? I think Christ had to disappear. If not, faith will not come in. Christ have to disappear. If not, they will not have faith. Because they will always want Christ to be there. His physical presence, to experience his physical presence. Let me tell you, my friend, you know, when Luke writes this particular word, I think he's teaching us about faith. We need to come back to faith. You know, we live in a very visual society. We want to see, we want to touch, we want to experience. If not, we don't believe. Right? And Christ disappeared because he wants them to have faith in him. And Jesus said, I'm with you always until the end of the age, my friend. I think the church today and Christians today, we need to come back to faith. That kind of faith that Christ is with us. Christ is with us. Every time Jesus says, peace be with you, if you realize, you know why? Because there was fear in them. Let me tell you, if you have fear, Paul also mentions that they need to replace it with faith, my friend. Are you afraid of your life? Replace it with faith. Are you afraid what's happening in your life? Replace it with faith, my friend. Because faith will lead us. As Christians, faith is important. Faith in God. I was just reading Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 about Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. You know, very interestingly, when you read about the life of Abraham, he looked for a city whose foundation was God was the builder of the city. That was faith. That was faith. What's your fear? If you have fear, ask God for faith and have faith. We need to have that faith once again. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a story and then ask God to help us in our journey and pray that God's presence will be felt in us each and every day. It's about a young girl. I do not know whether I told you this story. I was asking my wife, just checking whether I have shared this illustration, because you know, wives are the best critique, and also at the same time they are the best people to tell you, you know, whether you have done it again. But you know, let me share with you. This daughter complained to the father, right? If you have heard this before, just imagine this, you are hearing it for the first time. Okay? Good. The daughter complained about a hardship in life. She said, you know, Dad, I'm having some difficulties. You know, I do not know whether the Lord is with me. His father was a chef, right? And so he took her to the kitchen. He filled 3 pots with water. Did I tell you this? No, see, they're good people, right? He filled 3 pots with water and placed them on high fire, right? And soon the pots, you know, the water was just boiling. He took carrots. He placed it in one of the pot. He took eggs into another pot. He took coffee beans and placed it in another pot. Three pots. After 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took out the carrots and he placed them in a bowl. And similarly, he took the eggs out, and also he scooped the coffee, the beans out and all that, right? And then he asked the daughter, "What do you see?" The daughter said, "Dad, I see carrots, I see eggs, and I see coffee," she replied. But the father said, "Look carefully. One more time, look carefully. They've all changed. Each of them has faced the same adversity. Each of them has faced the same boiling water, the same struggle, the same pain. But each of them acted differently. The carrot went in strong and hard, but came out softened and became weak." Right? If you do, I think mothers will know that. The eggs have been fragile, right? With a thin outer shell. But after sitting through the boiling water, its inside becomes hard. The coffee bean is unique. After they are in the boiling water, they change the water. They change the water. And so the father asked, "Which are you?" When adversary knocks on your door, when pain knocks your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you like the coffee beans? Some are like carrots. They look firm, they look strong, but when they go into the boiling water, you know, they become soft. They lose the burning desire for the Lord. Some are like the eggs. They are soft, but when they go in, their hearts become much more harder. No more love, no more forgiveness, no more joy. But there are people like coffee beans. What happens when they're in hot boiling water? They send the fragrance out to others, and they influence others around them. They change, that their lives become much more tasteful to others, my friend. I think when we are having difficulties, do we lose that burning presence of God in our life? Let's pray. How are you today, my friend? Are we like the carrots? When things around our life begins to change, we become soft. We lose faith. We lose the desire for the Lord. Or we like the eggs, soft, but becomes harder. No more love for God. I don't want to have fellowship with the Lord or with the church. Or are we like the coffee? Not only it releases its flavor, but it also changes the environment. God wants us to be like the coffee. He wants us to come back to His word once again. If you think that you are not experiencing Christ in your life, go back to the scriptures. Study them again and again. because in them you will find him. We need to have more faith, more dependence, more trust in God. We need to ask God to be the Lord of our lives. Oh God, we thank you. Oh God, we want to continue to have that flame in our lives. We do not want to lose it, oh God. Help us in our Christian journey. We love you because you drew near to the disciples. And I know, Lord, that you will draw near to us. And you will walk along with us. We love you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.